today, Wednesday evening, 7/26/23. We're going to look at part four of naming and mapping the powers. This is what the Lord said to me a few days ago. He said, the places that you frequent are your points of infiltration. Ask me what my plan is for infiltration there. Whether it's a grocery store or a, whatever, a place that you frequent where you interact. The Great Commission is the Great Commission. No Christian is exempt from the Great Commission. You know, we used to think, well, the evangelists go and they go out and they go to other countries and they do stuff. Well, they do. But as believers, the Great Commission is supposed to be forefront in our mind at all times. So we all have a part to play in that, and the Holy Spirit will lead us as we go to places to talk to people, or maybe it's an institution that we need to speak over, but we need to hear. Just like Danny had a word about, you have to learn not to just do stuff, just bind stuff, just speak stuff. You have to hear from the Holy Spirit, because sometimes there's layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. And we may speak the right thing, but we want something that it's going to have to come off. It's kind of like at the top. It's going to have to start coming off the top, and then it works its way down. That's the way the Alliance is doing the deep state. They took out the top first, and now they're going from the top down. And the last thing that comes out is what? The root. Strongholds are built, you know, bang, 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 bang. Think about that. So we need to be led by the Spirit in what we do, not just do stuff. You know, that's the problem. There's a lot of churches that just do programs, and that's fine if God's in them. But if He's not, to me, it's just waste. Yeah. Okay, Matthew 28, we're going to read the Great Commission. It's kind of like, you know, this is another thing Danny was talking about, the Lord was talking to him about, like, we have the keys of the kingdom. But just like, you know, you have a key for the front door, key. Some people still have keys for their cars, keys for different things. And that doesn't mean one key fits all. One prayer fits all. It means there's going to be a key for your particular situation. Okay. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always into the end of the world. So Jesus, what did He do? He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's the Great Commission. Okay. All right. He told us to go into all the world. All the world? Well, we don't all go into all the world, but we go into our world, right? Where our domain is. This is the world we go into. If everybody goes into where their world is, the whole world's covered, right? All right. Everywhere we go, we should always look inside to hear what the Spirit is saying to you about people, places, things, or circumstances. Nothing should ever just be off the cuff unless, of course, the Holy Spirit tells you right there and then what you ought to do, what you ought to say. Sometimes it happens that way. Jesus kind of operated that way. He'd pray all night. What'd that do? That prepared Him so the Holy Spirit was heightened and could lead him, and then when he went somewhere, the Holy Spirit could say, do this or do that. You know, some of the the most fantastic things that have ever happened to me as a Christian praying for people was whenever I wasn't expecting it. It wasn't something I had fasted over or prayed. I mean, I prayed every day, but it's like somebody asked me to pray and I just prayed a prayer and it happened. Wasn't thinking about it. But I was prepared. All right. Mark 16 is another part of the commission. Adds a little more to it. Verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So as we go and we go about God's business, some of these things will happen. We already know about the speaking in tongues part. Then the serpents, that's a dealing with the devil. You have confrontations. I mean, I've had a few where I've confronted or gotten in the presence of someone that's got a spirit, and it's always very, I've never really said anything. It was just, I just knew there's something not right there. They might have said something to me, but, and at first, when that first happened to me, I mean, it scared me. I didn't know what to do until the Lord said, well, you know, you are confronting a demonic entity. That's why he said right here, you'll take up serpents. Do you drink any, right here, they'll cast out devils. Part of the Great Commission. Okay. Here's the importance of praying in the Spirit every day. It will prepare you for what you may encounter during your day. Will be instant in season and out of season. You know, we're used to, in church settings, you know, well, we better call a fast or whatever so we can prepare for revival or prepare for, we're going to have a deliverance service or all those things. Well, maybe that's a good thing, I don't know, but it's always been in that context that you had to have all those things. Why not just be prepared all the time? Isn't that what praying in the Spirit does? Taps into this the Holy Spirit inside, where God can use you. All right. I look for a hook. This is the way the Lord uses me. I look for a hook wherever I go, especially when I'm dealing with one-on-one. Jesus said he would make his disciples fishers of men. How do you catch fish? A hook. Well, the Holy Spirit supplies the bait to lure them in. So you got to have some bait on your hook. You got your hook, but until you get the bait or the lure, don't do anything. We're so geared in churches. Well, how many are you running? Oh, you got the numbers. You must be following God. Not so. Not so. All right. Keep going here. Matthew chapter 4. You're not compelled to do anything, say anything, unless the Holy Spirit gives you utterance to do so, right? Okay. All right, Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Yeah. It kept going, and going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And this fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem, from Judea and from beyond Jordan. He was following the Holy Spirit in ministering to people, bringing the gospel of the kingdom, which part of the kingdom is healing. Peter really got messed up after he denied the Lord, so Jesus gave him a good talking to. This is John chapter 21. Oops, better get to John. I'm in Matthew. All right, this is let's start with verse 1 here. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. It's like Jesus never came. Doing the same thing we just read over there in Matthew. He went back to things as usual. Well, he's dead. He's gone. It's over. They said, and we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. In other words, get off the wrong side of things, Peter. You're going right down the road where I picked you up at the very beginning. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and laid fish thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fishes, 153. I wonder what that is in Gematria. And of all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples thus asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after they had risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Not do your own thing. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast, at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Right? Follow me. See, Peter was the ringleader. The rest of them went with him. He got off, they got off. What's Peter doing? I mean, what Jesus is doing. He's reinstating Peter after his fall. Go feed my sheep. Follow me. Okay. As Jesus' disciples, we have a commission. This is called the Great Commission. Looking for a place to cast out your hook is part of that infiltration process. This is also spiritual mapping. Spiritual mapping is like a GPS. Being led by the Spirit, He is our heavenly GPS. He is the one that's leading the way. He's the one that's guiding us. We're not just rogue agents out there just doing our own thing whenever we think. Now, we've all been religiously taught to think that, you know, we'd feel guilty if maybe we went somewhere and nothing happened. Well, if the Lord don't tell you to do anything, if you do and He didn't, that's disobedience, right? As much as if He tells you to do and you don't, right? Okay. Spiritual mapping is like a GPS. Being led by the Spirit, our heavenly GPS, to do the Great Commission. We don't choose who, when, or where, but the Holy Ghost does. He sets the GPS, so we have to connect with Him. That's like setting your car GPS and you don't ever look at it or ever pay any attention to it, and you get lost out there somewhere. All right, let's look at a few examples. This is the book of Acts. I think the book of Acts should be called the book of infiltration. That's what it's about. All right. This is Acts 13. All right, verse 1 there. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, we've already gone through this in a prior one of these teachings about the different places that they went to. Some places the Holy Ghost said, no, don't go there. And then other times He'd say, well, go there. Paul had a dream, a man from Macedonia, come over here and help us. But there was a couple of times that I remember reading in the Acts where He said the Holy Spirit told us don't go there or warned us. The door's not open there. Okay. All right, Acts chapter 10. You know, y'all are real familiar with this one. Peter. Right here. Verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, praying in the Holy Ghost. He is fixing to hook up with that Holy Ghost GPS, isn't he? And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open. A certain vessel descended unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and lit down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. God is setting this up. And called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee." So we know the story. He went with them. He was led of the Spirit. This introduced the gospel of the kingdom to the Gentiles. All right, let's keep going here. Acts chapter 8. You know, the church has always been supernatural. It's never just been an institution that we just did stuff. All right, Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." He's probably thinking, "Now what in the world would I be going down there?" Have you ever thought about that? Why do I need to go there? And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and Enoch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and saith, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some men should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, passing through, and he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Man, this man was right on step with the Spirit. By himself. He wasn't with a team that I know of. See, this is the way it's supposed to be. All right. We do it just like Jesus did it. John chapter 4. All right, we're going to read most of this chapter. It says, "And when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." Why? When he was praying, the Holy Spirit told him, "You need to go to Samaria." "And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's just exactly the way the Lord uses us. If we did this all of our life, if we never stepped foot in a church, the Lord would be pleased, because it ain't about that. "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well," and it was about the sixth hour. He was weary. That's a long way to walk. He was a man. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of the water of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. But no man said, Why seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Supernatural. His ministry was supernatural. If the Holy Spirit doesn't give you anything, then don't do anything. It's not based on merit. It's based on obedience, right? Okay, John chapter 12. Verse 49. This is Jesus speaking. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. He was led by the Spirit. That's the only way he did it. And that's the only way we should do it. You know, I was thinking about my little nail girl today. I've been going to her 8 years. And when I first started going to her, she had a really foul mouth. And I watched her transform over the years. Now she's a Christian, and she's very blunt and very loud spoken, very opinionated type of person, and she's Mexican. I mean, they have a birthday party for their kids. Hundreds show up. They got to get a big, huge place like La Hacienda, whatever that is out there, to even have a birthday party. I've seen pictures. I'm thinking, that's for a one-year-old? You're kidding me. It's a big bash. And she's the type of person, you win one, you won the whole enchilada, I'm telling you. Everybody. And she's very vocal. You win a person to the Lord, a lot of times you win the family. Because they're going to go and they're going to tell. They're going to infiltrate their own family. She was telling me the other day about her son would say, would you call your client and would you ask her how I need to pray in this situation, the one, you know, that lost his life. She said, so I know he was trying to do the right thing, even though it was not in a right situation. He was trying to do the right thing, but he said he always called you my client. And she'd call me, and she'd say, what do I do? So I'd text her scriptures, and she'd give them to him, and he'd do it, and it would work. Think about the influence of the Holy Ghost. You know how I came across her? I got online, and I made an appointment online at this salon. I never met her, never heard about her, but it was a divine appointment. And when she lost her son, she said, I'm so thankful that you showed me how to come to God. That was a divine appointment. And I keep spoon-feeding her things, you know, helping her out as I can. But there may be a day the Lord says, now move on. I don't know. But the Lord did that. I didn't know what was on the other end, but He did. You know, finding a common ground. That's how the Lord uses me, common ground. You're talking to somebody and they say something's happened and you say, yeah, I've had that happen to me too. Well, what'd you do about it? Well, this is what God did this. Then you have an opportunity maybe to pray for them. And I didn't even know this lady was born again for a few years. And I asked her one day, I said, how do you know you're born again? See, I'd given her little books with the prayer in the back. She said, because I asked Jesus in my heart. That's just the type of lady she is. You snatched a soul out of hell, and you probably a whole big mass of relatives too. They are bound to see the change in her because she was potty mouth central. But she don't say them words anymore. But she does talk about the Lord a lot. I've seen over 8 years a transformation happen in this person. Just a slow, just a little bit here, little bit there. That's the way you do it. It's not hard. It's just being led by the Spirit. Sometimes, you know, the Lord will want us to do something and we don't want to do it. Just like when I didn't want to go to that federal court. I mean, I haggled over that thing because I knew if I got picked, it's a three-month thing. You got to... And so I was just worked myself over up over that. And I get over there and I'm not even picked. But then the Lord says, now I'll show you why I sent you over there. That's what this mapping stuff is about. Sometimes He's leading us and He's wanting us to do things and we're saying, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Lord, don't make me go. Well, you said you wanted to follow me, right? You said that you wanted me to show you things and do. You want to do things for the kingdom. But then I'll ask you to do something and you're over here going, no, I don't want to. I don't want to go. Okay. When we stand before the Lord, it will be over this commission. Don't make any bones about it. This will be front and center. What did you do with what I asked you to do? That was the major thing that with Brother Oral Roberts' vision, the Lord said he was the most displeased with, that there's only five ministries in the whole world that were doing the Great Commission. That's awful. I'm talking ministries. I'm not talking individuals. I'm talking ministry. So he's about people, number one. Jesus died for people. And so that's what he's going to be asking. Okay, what did you do with what I asked you to do? We may not all do the same thing. We may not go into all the world, but just our world. Just our domain around us. All right, let's keep going here. Matthew 25. It makes a little more sense now, doesn't it? That's what's gotten the church in trouble. Well, let the missionaries do it. Let the evangelists do it. And we do nothing. All right, Matthew 25. We're going to start with verse 31 there. No, let's do 36. Yeah. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. You know what? I'm reading the wrong chapter. It's a good passage, but that's not the one. I'm sorry. But that's something to think about. You think about the way things are today and how awful things are today and how many people are not ready to meet the Lord. Okay, 31 and 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we anhungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. These are these assignments. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not do one of the least, did it not unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know, people don't seem to think, you know, you just get born again, but that isn't the end of it. We're to be led by the Spirit and take the gospel of the kingdom. All right. By taking authority of the state capital, which, you know, I get chuckle at what's her name that goes to the Capitol every day? Nancy Drew. She calls it the Crapital. Anyway, I think about that every time I say capital. All right, by taking authority over the state, this is what the Lord said to me. By taking authority over the state capital, by my authority, and taking out the ley lines that run from the Capitol to the federal court in Midland, I am now able to protect your assets with a new digital gold-backed currency that is bypassing the beast CBDC. They're pushing forward in Texas to get this done. We must never let just be loose cannons, but we must hear from the Holy Spirit and obey what He tells us to do. All right.